Good morning to all of you. Before we look into the Word of God this morning, let's pray that God will help us understand what He has given to us in His Word. Father, we want to thank You that we can come together this morning, and we pray that as we look into Your words, You will speak to us. Help us to understand what is written in it, for we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if there's one thing that we have been made more aware of in these recent years of the pandemic, it is really how frail life is and how real death is. Now, this whole idea of death may not be the best topic to talk about on an early Sunday morning, but whether we choose to think or talk about it or not, it is something that we all have to face, because death is inevitable. And because death is inevitable, it is therefore useful to know more about it so that we can better face it when it comes. You know, in these recent years, I too, like many here, have to come to terms with the death of people whom I know and whom I love dearly. And you know, the most sobering thought for me has been this: everything gives way to death. You know, whether the dying is ready to go or not, whether the living is ready to let the person go or not, death just comes and takes the person away. Takes him away from all that he is doing, all that he has, and all the people whom he knows. In this regard, death is like a bully. The bully that we meet in school years ago, he just cuts the queue, takes away whatever he likes, whenever he likes, and gets his way almost all of the time. The other thing about death that we have to grapple with is that death can be very, very sudden. And the suddenness of death can be quite difficult to grasp and accept. You see, we all know through our life experiences that death can come to anyone, anytime, whether young or old. We all know that. But when death actually comes to people whom we know personally, what we know is one thing, how we feel is another altogether. You know, I discovered that for myself, when people whom I love pass on, I really needed time to think about it, to work through things. So I can imagine how heartbreaking it is, especially for people who see death as the end of all things. But you see, this morning we will discover something, that while everything gives way to death, something really phenomenal happens. Death gives way to life. Death is not the unbeatable bully. Death does not have the final say. Death is not the end of all things. You know, it's like the big bully that I talked about in school. This big bully is now overcome by someone bigger, someone stronger. And so this bully's dominions need not be feared anymore, because even this bully is overcome by someone more powerful. But some of us may be asking, is this possible? Can death really be defeated? And so it is because of this we want to look at the passage that was read to us this morning, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 28. But before we look at the passage itself, it is good for us to capture a little bit of the context to 1 Corinthians 15. And so I'd like to spend some time this morning to look at the first 11 verses to set the setting before we look at the verses from verses 20 to 28. Well, this first section from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 11 records for us something very amazing, which took place in the year round about AD 30. It was the time when this person by the name of Jesus, he was crucified on the cross. But some of us will be saying, what's so special? What's so special about this death of this person, Jesus? I'm sure at that time there were countless other executions done by the Roman authorities, And there were many people who probably would have died at that time. So what makes this death so special? Well, there are a few things it is worthy for us to note about the death of this person, Jesus, that happened round about AD 30. And is, firstly, if we were to go through all the evidences carefully, it is clear that Jesus died for the wrongs that he did not commit. It was a case of sure injustice. Now, of course, there are also many deaths that have occurred that was a result of injustice. But there is something else which makes Jesus' death very special and very unique, because it has something to do with us. And you may be wondering how so. Because in 1 Corinthians 15, let me just read verses 3 and 4. It says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures." So the writer says that this death by this person, Jesus, was for our sins. So it actually has implications for us today. Well, the reason is really because when we are created by God, many of us show no regard for God. We don't really care who this God is. And because of that, we are deserving of God's punishment. A fair God will punish all who rebel against him. But here it tells us that this punishment that we deserve, as we hear in the song that was presented to us by the choir, is now taken upon by Jesus. Jesus died on our behalf to take upon himself the judgment that was ours. That's what made the death of Jesus so special. He didn't die just because it was a case of injustice. He died for our sins. Now, besides the account of his death, which is amazing, there's something else that's even more spectacular. The writer tells us that after he was buried on the third day, he was raised back from the dead. So continuing in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to scriptures." Many people may be very, very skeptical. Can this be real? Can a person come back to life? Well, that's what the writer kind of knows that is in the mind of many people. Can a person come back to life? So he listed a list of names of people who have actually seen the risen Christ. So there is a person by the name of Cephas. There was a person by the name of James. And not only that, the writer actually also tells us that there are at least 500 other people who have seen the risen Jesus. Now, one thing that is noteworthy is what we are reading in 1 Corinthians 15 was written round about AD 50. Now, you may be asking, so what's so significant about that? Well, AD 50 is just about 20 years after AD 30. What is written is just about 20 years after the events that have taken place, which means that people at that time hearing this message are people who can check it out to see whether what they have heard is true or not. Because many of these first-hand eyewitnesses who have seen the events round about AD 30 are still alive. And so the writer is almost like saying, you can go and check it out with these people that they have seen that these events actually happened. And he listed at least two people with very specific names that you can check. So anyone at that time could verify for himself if These people really saw the risen Jesus. What the writer is basically trying to say in this first part is to establish the fact that this event, that Jesus was risen from the dead, did actually happen. Which means that death is actually overcome. The big bully is now overcome by Jesus, who is stronger and who is more powerful. Now, at that time, there are people, especially the Jews, who are very familiar with ancient Jewish scriptural texts. So for these individuals, whatever that we talked about was not a surprise at all, because it was according to scriptures. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. You see the writer emphasizing that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. That he rose again the third day according to scriptures. So it was something that was already talked about, prophesied, predicted in ancient Jewish scripture. So it was not actually a surprise for some. Well, one such text is from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 9 to 11, where it says, "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." You notice just within this text, the three things that I talked about are being mentioned. That one, Christ died an innocent death, but he died for our iniquities. He died for our sins. He died for our guilt. Number two, that Christ would live again unto eternity, that his days is prolonged. And that thirdly, that when Christ died and was risen again, it was to make us all right before God. And this explains why Christians are always talking about Jesus. We are always talking about Jesus' death. We are always talking about Jesus' resurrection. In fact, just recently, we celebrated or commemorated Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. It's really because at the heart of the Christian faith is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is what we often call as the good news, the gospel. The writer says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and therein you stand." And so where we are trying to establish this morning, before we look at the text, is that Jesus did rise from the dead. And all who believe in Jesus has something very, very important to remember. Because some people say that, granted, that what you have said is true, that this Jesus has risen from the dead, what's that got to do with me? What's the connection? Well, this is where we go to the passage that was read to us this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. And let me just read a few verses from verses 20 to 22. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You see, my friends, because Jesus rose from the dead, all who believe in Jesus, all who are in Christ, will also be raised to life when he or she dies. Now, this is not to say that when someone dies, his spirit just come back to revisit us or to haunt us. You know, when my parents died, my friends came to me and said, "Did your parents come back to visit you again?" Well, I explained to them that when we are risen to life again, what it means is that our spirit and our soul will be made alive with God. My answer to my friends is, my parents did come back to life again, but not to revisit me. They came back to life again, soul and spirit, to be with God. You know, it's very interesting. A colleague of mine some years back was having Bible study with a friend at a food court. And just when she was about to finish the Bible study with this student, a lady came up to her and asked if she was a Christian. So my colleague was taken aback. And the lady said, "I can't help but listen to the entire conversation we have with your friend." So my colleague did not know that she was conducting Bible study for two people at the same time. That she was so loud and that the lady beside her was listening into the entire conversation. And so it made my colleague pretty nervous. And then the lady went on to say, "You know, I've always found attending Christian funerals very peaceful. Somehow, whenever I visit my friends and their families, Christians' wakes and funeral services, there's always so much hope." Well, if you're a Christian, do you think you can explain why this is so? So my colleague have a sense of relief and says, "Yeah, sure," and took the time to explain to her. "You see, my friends, this is no secret. Why do we have so much peace and hope, even in times of sadness? Because when Jesus was risen to life, we who follow Jesus will be raised to life with God. Death gives way to life, even after we die." So for those of us who are in Christ, when our loved ones die, they are just going home first. Because when we are done with our work here, we too will be going home. And we will be joining them to be with God. So death is actually like a very huge homecoming. And death is like a reunion. Reunion with God and reunion with all our friends and family who believe in Jesus. And as such, we need not fear death. It is just a temporary farewell. We will meet again. Well, that is why Christians are so hopeful. There will be many who will be there to welcome us. And if I should go before you, I'll be there to welcome you too. So we can look forward to meeting our families, our friends, our church members, and of course, more importantly, God Himself, the one person who has brought back to Him all of us who believe in Jesus. So this is what gives Christians hope. And the beauty to this new life in Jesus is we don't have to wait until we die to start enjoying it. The moment we believe in Jesus, we begin to experience this newness of life. We start living this new life. When we believe in Jesus, many aspects of our life will start to change for the better. It begins with our hearts, and then our minds, and then our character, our words, our conduct, our relationships. We begin to live with wisdom, with goodness, with righteousness. And this newness continues even after we die, and it goes on forever. So what God does is we can now all have a reset from our past, a restart from all our hurts and from everything that is broken. That is good news. And when we die and we pass on from this life to the next, we will even get a complete makeover. And what does it cost us? Well, it costs us nothing. Because Jesus has already paid it with His life. Now some may be wondering, why would God do that? Well, that's the heart of a father. I'm sure among us, there are parents, and all of us who are parents who deeply love our children, we can testify that we are prepared to do many things to give our children a good life. And it's not about cost. It's about love. And because God loves us, He sent Jesus to pay His life for ours, His robes for ours, so that we can live with God again. You see, my friend, the help and the hope that is given to us is only as good as when we choose to receive it. You know, I'm in the process of helping some young people. These are all post-secondary school students. And the journey of helping these young people has not been easy. And the reason is this. Many of them don't see the need for help. They think that they're okay. And for some who do acknowledge that they need help, they decided that they still choose to do whatever that they want. And so because of that, whatever help I try to extend to them cannot reach them. Similarly, as good as simple as all these truths that I've shared may sound to you, what Jesus has done for us is good only if we recognize that we have disregarded God and that we are deserving of punishment and that Jesus has come to take this punishment for us and we see the need to come to Him. Then all that I've said will be extended to you. There's one other thing that's very important for us to take note, and that is found in the second section of the passage that was read for us. And let me just read a portion of that. Verses 24 and the verses following. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You see, this section tells us another wonderful thing that happens after we die. Not only does death give way to new life in Christ, death gives way to a new rule under Christ. A rule that is good and a rule that is perfect. You see, my friends, while having a good life is important, having a good rule is equally important. You know, in recent times, we have seen how countries who are having it good for a while have been overtaken by other countries because of war, because of crisis, and how people's lives, once good, now terribly disrupted, made extremely miserable because of some rulers who are in power, who have misused and abused their authority. Now, we don't have to think that far, because even in our daily lives, I'm sure we've had many encounters with leaders in authority, with bad judgment, who exercise unfair treatment, who display poor governance, make bad decisions, and even exhibit questionable character and behavior. And if you and I have to work under these leaders and these rulers, it can be very frustrating. Well, students have their fair share of teachers who play favorites. For those of us who are at work, we have a fair share of bosses who are biased, who are unkind, who are mean. And so it is no wonder that many of us do not like the whole idea of authority, because we often associate authority with abuse, authority with corruption, we associate authority with greed. And we often think that living under authority means a lack of freedom, and sometimes the whole idea of oppression, the idea of suffering. But if you take some time to think a little bit more about it, the problem is not with authority itself, the problem is with bad authority. It is because we have so many negative experiences and negative examples that many of us have the notion that all authority is bad authority. But that's not true, because there are some examples of good authorities where people and countries do well, live well, because they serve under good leaders. But maybe far fewer examples. Nonetheless, that's what's going to happen when we die. We will live under the rule of Jesus Christ, which will not just only be good, it will be perfect. Because God is perfect in every way. No more injustice, no more unfairness. You know, this is certainly such a welcome news, because in the world that we live in, we are torn by political powers. We are torn socially, relationally, environmentally. How we yearn in our hearts that we can live in a much better environment, a much fairer environment. And for some of us who are going through very hard times, this all that I talked about seems so elusive and so distant. But the passage for us tells us that it is now possible with Jesus, because we can come under his good and his perfect rule. And just as new life doesn't only begin after we die, when we believe in Jesus, we start living under his rule. It begins the moment we come to know Jesus. Because God has given to us the Bible. God lives in our hearts through his Spirit. And so he can lead us. He can guide us. He can direct us. He can empower us. So that even though life may not be ideal, we can still live the way God intends. We can still know how we can navigate through the challenges around us. And so therefore, as Christians, death is not the end. Death is just a transition, but a major one. A major transition. You know, as in all transitions in life, whether you move from school to work, whether you move from single to married, whether you move to a time when you have children or to grandchildren, we all are very apprehensive about transitions. Because transitions can be tough. But when many of us have made the transition and we look back, we are so glad that that transition has taken place. Well, in the same way, death is a transition. We transit from this life to a good and perfect life under a good and perfect rule. And the moment we believe in Jesus, we start living this new life. That's the good news. So maybe this morning, there are some of you who are friends for joining us because someone invited you here. You may be at the stage in your life that you feel that it's time to press a reset. I need to have a restart and find some repairs to all the brokenness in my life. It's time to have a change of a new life and a new rule. Well, if you are at that stage in your life, then this morning, the message is for you. It's calling out to you. God is calling out to you that you can come to follow this Jesus who makes this new life and this new rule available for you. And even death cannot take that away. But there is also something for all of us who have been Christians, who have been believers, who have been attending church for many years. And it is this truth that we must always remember, that in Christ, we have a hope that is beyond this life and beyond death. You know, there will be occasions for those of us who are Christians when we will be shaken. There will be occasions where we may be overwhelmed because of life's challenges. You know, if I can have a picture in my mind. Our lives are like a lamb, the olden day lambs, where you have a wick, and then you have a flame. But because of the challenges in life, the flame is weak, and the flame is flickering. We are struggling. We are disappointed, we are discouraged, maybe even to a point of despair because of different things that happen to us. But today's message should give us hope, because despite all the challenges we are going through, we do have a hope that is beyond this life and that is beyond death, because this hope is anchored on God who is true. And whatever God has promised, it is always good. We can keep trusting this faithful God, even though circumstances around us are very challenging. We can keep holding on to God's promises, even though we are struggling. There is nothing that God has said that He will not and cannot do. So even if you are in a tunnel, a dark tunnel, and you're hoping that you can see the light at the end of it, but until now, there is no sign that you are near the end of the tunnel. For us as Christians, remember what God has said in His Word today in 1 Corinthians 15, and what Christ has already accomplished on the cross, because the Word of God and the work of Christ is the light that is in us. Which means that even when we are going through a dark tunnel and that light at the end is not in sight, we are walking in the dark tunnel with light in our hearts. And what is the light? The remembering of what God has said and the remembering of what Christ has accomplished. That will help us navigate through life's challenges. You know, there were times in my life when I feel very, very discouraged. Different seasons in life. Somehow, at certain times, I felt that whatever I do was not good enough. Somehow, whatever progress I make, people just don't notice them. But sadly, every little mistake I make was magnified. And sometimes you wonder, what's the point? I try so hard, nobody notices. I make one small mistake, and everybody just magnifies it. What's the point? What's the point of trying? What's the point of doing all the things? And I can empathize, because as I go through it, it can be very disappointing, discouraging, and it may cause us to wonder, maybe it's time to stop trying, because it's so tiring, and everything seems so futile. But today's message gives us hope. Because if our lives are only in our own hands, and if lives is only under the control of certain people, or because of certain circumstances, then yes, it can seem quite hopeless. But for us who believe in Jesus, our lives are under His rule. As such, our efforts may seem futile, our situation may seem bleak, some people in authority may seem very powerful, but God is bigger than all these combined. And because of that, we can have this hope in this very powerful and this faithful God. And that is enough to keep us walking, keep us serving, keep us living. So there is a point after all. Because whatever we do under the rule of God. In fact, the darker the situation, the brighter is the light. The more we appreciate the Word of God, the more we appreciate the work of Christ. And so this is a message for both friends and believers in church. that for those of you who are not yet Christians, the call to you is to embrace this Jesus who can give you this new life and this new room. And for us who are believers in Jesus Christ, in whatever struggles you are going through, whether physically, emotionally, that hope is something that we must constantly embrace. That we live lives under a good God, and we live lives under a perfect rule. And even if you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, Christ, the light, lives in us. And that should be sufficient for us to navigate through life's challenges. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning that reminds us that Jesus died for our sins and he was risen again. It is not just something that happened historically and a fact that we listen to, but it has implications for us. Because with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it means that all of us who believe in Jesus will be raised to new life in Christ and a new life that is under the perfect rule of Christ. Father, I pray for all who are friends this morning who have not yet come to know Jesus. I pray that your word will speak to them and draw them to yourself. That they too can recognize how they have drifted away and how they can come to you through Jesus Christ to live this new life and to live under this new rule. And for us who are believers, especially brothers and sisters in Christ in our midst, who may be going through turmoil, challenges, discouragement, I pray that this morning's message will remind us that we have hope. Hope in you because of what Christ has done. And as such, we know that with you ruling our lives, and with this life you have given to us, even though the environment that we live in is less than ideal, we have enough to get us going, that everything we do for you is still worth it. So we pray for these brothers and sisters that God, you will encourage them and bring your word as a source of comfort and a way of urging them to continue walking for the Lord Jesus. So Father, even as your word is preached, we pray that you will continue to do your work in our hearts. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.